This year, we focused our messages based on getting our souls set on fire. Now, our Lord said that He would take care of every need. Our Lord said, I want you to follow me. Our Lord let us know that you're not going to have to worry about anything. As soon as you say yes to my son, I will take care of you. Well, what has happened? Jesus has never went back on his word. There's never been a time when he said this is going to happen that it didn't happen exactly that way. The problem is too often with us in asking, Lord, burn within me with your truth again. Now, one thing I have learned over the years, God does not waste anything. When we yell for truth, I can picture the Lord saying, how about focusing on the truth I've already given you and put it into action? When I tell you to pray to me for a touch from me, you need to talk to me. God wants to hear from us. And he says, this is what I will give to you. You know, the greatest need in America today and throughout the world is the need of peace within the heart. I was talking this past week with a few concerning the drug trafficking through the state of Kentucky. Do you know where the biggest harm is on all of this? You can have every kind of program you want, but without that inner peace within that individual. And the Lord says, look, I've come to bring you peace. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, he took on that cross every mistake I would ever make. Past, present, and future. He loved me when I was wrong, and he said, I love you when you're right. I love you, and I want to express my love to you. Well, Lord, I don't know how to express my love back. And then he gives us his word. Express your love to me as you express your love for your fellow man. As you reach out to that individual in the ditch of life, as you see a hurt, go to the hurt. Don't run from the hurt. Don't mask the pain. Talk to me. Well, in order for us to really express ourselves to others, we have to do that from the depth of our soul, from who we are. We must allow the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Folks, I don't care how many programs you have. I don't care how well you're dressed. I don't care how well you're not dressed. It doesn't matter. That has absolutely nothing to do with that inner peace that is offered to us. To be at peace, the disciples, a great example, during the night of when Jesus was taken in, the disciples took off running in fear for their life. Apostle Peter, the very one who said, Lord, I will never leave you. All the rest of them may run, all of them took off. It's called a human condition. Human beings will say, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, and I listen to it all the time. I have for years. Boy, if something like that ever happens to me, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And then something happens and you freeze. You don't know how you're going to react. So Jesus says, let me give you some inner help. I will give you my peace. And it is through the peace that Jesus Christ offered to us. And what else do we want God to do for us? He sent his only begotten son. He watched his son die, beaten, humiliated. Such a mess on the cross. Again, let me remind you, they didn't have a nice, shiny new cross for Jesus. He was crucified as a criminal on that tree. Others had been crucified on that cross. They didn't clean it up for him any more than they allowed him to have clothes on that cross. Ultimate humiliation is what they were after. But what they saw was ultimate love. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus asked a question on the cross. Very, very powerful question. And he asked that question to his Father. For this is the only time ever, before time began, but during what, there's no such thing as time or the concept of time with God. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit always were together. But when it came to expressing love to you and me, the ultimate punishment for those who refuse to accept Christ as Lord and Savior is separation from God. For that is the punishment of sin. Without accepting the blood of Christ, then you and I would have to stand before Almighty God, and our own actions will be our judge. But God said, no, son, this is getting ready to happen. Here's Jesus' question to his Father. And as you listen to his question to his Father, I want you to listen to a question that Jesus would have on his heart right now for the 21st century Christian church. Matthew 27:46, the ninth hour, Jesus is in agony. Such distress, so horrible. It's what was going on with him. His human condition was beaten to the point that he could not be recognized as human. Nothing about him that would draw people to him. For he was being crucified. The most horrible of deaths. They would turn their head away. But something that Jesus really paid attention to besides us in Matthew 27:46. After the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Never had Jesus been separated from God the Father, never. But in order to bring peace to your heart, my heart, to our life, it had to be this way. It was going to be so horrible that the last night in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, Jesus said, Father, if it is possible, please let this cup pass from me. Remember, Jesus, the Son of God, 100% human, 100% God. And in order for you and I to have that inner peace, Jesus must die the human death. But at the point of when his Father turned his back on him, I can't express, I don't know what that feeling could be. For it had never happened. Jesus said, after he felt that, and after he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? All hell was cheering. The heavenly host was looking on. We do know from Scripture that Jesus could have called for legions of angels and it would have all been over. But had he done that, you and I would have no hope. The human race would have no hope. So he took to the cross as only God could do. And then he's told them, it's finished. Folks, when Jesus cried out that awesome question, I can picture today, because it's Jesus who said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? And remember, he said that judgment must begin in the house of God. Therefore, what's Jesus saying? Is the agony in him crying out on our behalf? My church, my church, why have you forsaken me? Jesus went ahead and took it for me. He took my punishment. He expressed love to an individual who didn't love him, didn't care. But he cared. He cared about me. He cared about you. And he knew what had to happen. Now let me tell you, for us, the beautiful side of this. Because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, Christian, you will never, ever feel such pain of separation from God the Father. It won't happen to you. Can't happen to you. Jesus paid it. He conquered it. And people say, yo, one day he's going to conquer death. He already did that. That's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus, when Jesus said it's finished, folks, it's finished. When Jesus said that's enough, that's enough. And Jesus cries out in pure love and pure blood and said, Father, I love them. Well, God gave him the answer. Listen to what Jesus says. God's answers to him are, first of all, the answer was so we could know the way to eternal life. See, we could not know the way had that Good Friday not taken place. John 17, verse 3, which John 17 is the priestly prayer, meaning this is where Jesus prays for you and for me and for his disciples. Oh, listen to it. Because Jesus loved us so. And this is the way to have eternal life. Now listen, folks. The scripture says this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Too simple. Did you ever read the story of what you say is too simple? Of what Jesus went through? Really? But the reason the world hates Christianity is, they say, because of its simplicity. All you need do is believe. Well, then if it is so simple, why do so many not believe? I don't want to believe in something I don't understand. Well, people, you don't even understand the one you normally are with. I look in the mirror every day, and I don't understand that reflection. Have you ever done something and you say, I cannot believe I was that foolish? We have trouble getting along with self. But Jesus says, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to win the battle. Pay attention to all the battles in history where God was leading the Hebrew nation. It wasn't the idea that they were so tough they go in. Every time it was God that intervened. And I always remember Joshua. Joshua, you did not do that. You know, we got the song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Then God lets Joshua in on something. I sent the hornet. And yes, it was the actual little buzzing hornet that God sent before Joshua, and they left and the walls came tumbling down. It's all in what God does. Not my battle plan, not your battle plan. Folks, we want peace of mind. We want to feel peace within us. And Jesus says, okay, I will give you that peace. But somebody has to take the full, painful hurt and disappointment on your behalf, and I will do it. That's the God we serve. Not a God that tells us to go out and slaughter other people for their belief. But the God who says, I care. I want to bring peace to you. I meet a lot of Christians that do not have peace within. Not because God hasn't offered it, because we've refused the gift. God's answer to him, the second one, was so that God could love us. That's what Brother Randy was talking about. As much as he loves Jesus. Did you ever know that? Think on it. John 17:23. Then the world will know, this is Jesus, that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me. Woo! Now that ought to get you excited. Because Jesus in his prayer, and he never prayed a prayer God didn't answer, in his prayer said, because of what I'm going to do, it is because of what Jesus did, we became not just family, we became loved by God the Father just as much as he loved Jesus. And we don't deserve it. I do not deserve mercy. I don't deserve grace. Nobody deserves grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's got to be given by a higher power, as the world says. It's got to be given by God, our Creator. He said, I will instill in your heart love. And yet we battle each day with bitterness and strife that eats us alive. Hurt and pain that you can't change. Do you ever try to help or try to get somebody to change in their actions? Years ago, I remember a lady coming and said, Chaplain Vance, I have nagged that man for 20 years to get him in church. I don't know what to do. I said, for 20 years, you've been doing the same thing. And the same thing hasn't worked for 20 years. Why don't you quit nagging long enough and let God touch the heart? You see, the Lord, he didn't need my help. He doesn't need your help. He chose to give us the opportunity to be a part. I can't save anyone, but I know the one who can. The blessing for me when someone accepts Christ is I get to be in the presence. Because I know when Jesus is touching the heart of someone, Jesus is in the room. And when Jesus is in the room, I encourage you, let him through the door of your heart. Third one, so we can be with Jesus where he is forever. Why are you afraid to serve the Lord? Well, you know, I just don't want to upset people. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I don't want to upset God. But why would any of us turn our back on the ultimate love, the ultimate peace? Does that mean Christians never have problems? No, hardly. Let me tell you, when you say yes to Jesus Christ in your heart, all hell's going to break loose within you, in your family, in your mind. Satan. Because you see, the new spirit in me, Satan can't touch. But he doesn't need to. My human nature is still here. As long as this body is walking around, the human nature will be here. But Jesus says, listen, it's not about who you are, Larry. It's about who I am. And I want to make you a promise, John 17:24. Father, I want these people that you gave me to be with me where I am. Again, God says, okay, son, you got it. Not only did God bless us with the freedom to have peace of mind, some people don't want peace. I guess they just feel better about their life falling apart all the time. I don't know. But if they won't accept the peace that God offers, they'll never find that peace in a bottle or in a pill. Never find it there. Because at the end of the day, you sober up. Sometime, sooner or later. Sometimes you'll sober up down at the jail where I am. And I'll laugh at you until you get through in the drunk tank. And God says, let me show you how vile sin is. We see it. We see it in our own life, folks. And God says, I hate sin. Why would he? Because we're family. Don't you hate anything that will harm your child or your family? Are you ready and willing to protect your family? God says, those are my children. So it's God that declared war on sin. God did not declare war on us. God loves us. He loves the non-believer. That's why he says, I'm not tarrying because of any other reason except I would that everyone would be saved. That everyone would know the peace that I offer. So therefore I stand before God. You stand before God without excuse. Because God says when you stand before me, you will have no excuse because I will have revealed myself to you. Do we dare call God a liar? Well, Lord, had the preacher spoken a little softer, I may have paid more attention. Had the Sunday school teacher not upset me in some way, then I'd be saved today. But the answer remains the same every time I read it. You stand before me without excuse because I reveal myself to you. See, the rest of it on the witnessing and all, that's just for a blessing for us. I love blessings. I love blessings. I love being in a ditch of life, right down in a hog walla of life itself is. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus comes down, glory fills my soul. When I watch a hardcore criminal light up, knowing that he's not going to murder anymore, he's not going to rape anymore, because God just touched him and he said yes. But the second question, Jesus crying out, my church, my church, why have you forsaken me? Why have you withdrawn from the truth just to please man? Why? Why will you not stand up for the truth you say you believe? I'm the great physician, says God. My son conquered your death. Catch that. You and I will never see death. Listen to Jesus. The sting of death is gone. The grave has no power, no victory. Because you and I will never see it. We simply move from this location to a new home. Now tell me what's wrong with that. My mother will be 102 in August. 102. And her question is, why is God letting me live? And I hear so many other questions from people. Why did God allow them to die? There's always questions from the human nature. But there's one area of your life I can guarantee you, and that's the area of your Christian conviction. I'm not talking about religion. I could care less about religion. Religion drives me about as crazy as politicians do. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a no-so faith. Not that I think this is going to happen. Thinking something's going to happen is not faith. But that's just doubt looking for proof. That's not what that is. The Lord says, listen, why have you forsaken me? Listen to the scripture on by abandoning my mission to the world. Jesus had the mission to the world. Listen to it, John 17, 18. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Are you hearing this? He will do even greater things than these. The Son of God is telling us, if you will have faith in me, I will give you the strength and the power to do even more things than you've seen me do. That's a lot, right? Well, let me put sort of context for you. The scripture says that if every miracle performed by Jesus were written down in the pages of a book, the world could not hold all the books it would take to pin them. Oh man, think of that. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Here's the because. Because I am going to the Father. But what's our answer? God answered Jesus. Here's the answer. Son, you want them with you. This is what it's going to take. And now in our generation, please, I wish I could unscrew heads and just jam it down in there, but listen, folks, the greatest blessing in your life is that you're born of the generation of the church, the generation of grace. Throughout the whole Old Testament, before the coming of Jesus, it was laws, it was rules, nobody could keep. Nobody could keep. But he said, well, he said this to his own disciples. He said, you believe because you see me. You believe that I rose from the grave because you've just put your hand, Thomas, in my side. You've just touched my hands. And you believe. But now listen to what he said. How much greater blessed will those believe who have yet to see me, yet they believe. That's us. That's us. By pure grace, by pure mercy, do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do I believe that he went to a cross at Golgotha, and on that cross he died for me? He took my punishment. He took my guilt. He didn't take it as though it was never done or I had never committed it. I had and have and do. He took it even though I am guilty. That's love. That's love that surpasses all understanding. And folks, with love that surpasses all understanding, you will find peace above all understanding. The greatest blessings I've had since the cancer and the Agent Orange poisoning, that I can laugh at cancer. Even Satan cannot trick me on this one. Jesus has already won. As my congregation knows, and this is actually the way I do it, for many years, if I was going to read a book, I read the last chapter first. If it's not going to have a good ending, I'm not going to waste my time reading the rest of it. I read the last chapter, and if I like the ending, I read the rest of it. Read the book. Well, read the last book of the Bible. It's called the Book of Revelation. There's nothing spooky about it. It's to reveal who Jesus really is. And he says, I win. Jesus said, I've already won it for you. So why are you worried about that? I will watch after you. I will protect you. Because I love you. Let's pray. Father, so much about life that none of us really understand. About the things that go on in our life that, Father, we don't understand again ourselves. Well, we do ask, Lord, for your peace and mercy now. As you give that peace within our mind, that you, Father, will truly satisfy our soul as we yearn to be closer to you. We thank you for your love, your patience, your grace, your Son. We ask your blessing now upon each one. Touch them, Father, as they travel. Watch after them. Guide and protect the family members. Father, you've called us to the battlefront, but now we know we are to show up and you'll take care of the rest. Give us peace, Father. Forgive us for all the shortcomings in Jesus' name. Amen.